You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It is the APC podcast once again from AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation. Talking about your Green Bay Packers all day, every day, and on this day in particular, Thursday, August 3rd, a lovely afternoon in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I am Zach Rapport. At the APC Pod is our show handle on Twitter. At Zach Rapport is my personal handle. At the APC Pod on Instagram for pictures of our intern, my dog, who is taking a very on-brand nap right behind me. And thank you so much for downloading. Today we are previewing Packers at Cowboys. I am joined by my trusty cohort here, Ben Foldy, out in Detroit, Michigan, at Ben Foldy on Twitter. How are you, man?
I am fine. Getting through a day.
Fine. I love your... you're always very honest and direct with your answer, which is something I appreciate.
I'm not sure how I'm supposed to be.
Well, I learned a long time ago in the working world, when people ask you like how you're doing, they don't actually want to know how you're doing. They just, they want you to say good or, you know, whatever. Because I spent many years being very honest about how I'm doing in a working situation, and it made for some very awkward moments.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good.
Joining us as well. On very short notice, we are very appreciative to talk all things Packers at Cowboys. We are joined by RJ Ochoa at RJ Ochoa on Twitter, covers all things Dallas Cowboys for SB Nation's Bloggin' the Boys, host of the Ocho podcast, Saturday Morning Hangover, ESPN San Antonio. RJ, welcome. And two questions. Did I miss anything there? And do you ever get a day off? Sounds like you have a very long resume.
You know, you did not miss anything, except for giving me the alert that we're talking to somebody in Albuquerque. I've been rewatching Breaking Bad to get ready for the movie, so that's exciting. And in terms of a day off, I'm very fortunate and very blessed to be able to do what I love, so it all feels like a day off to me. It's all exciting. I mean, this is a blast, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, the whole Breaking Bad thing here is like a mixed bag. So I'm a transplant. I'm originally from Wisconsin, and I moved here after living some time in New York, and so you talk to the locals about it, and like some people are into it, other people are like, I wish we were known for something other than a show about meth, and then of course like tour sure. buses and all this stuff, so but I'm a huge fan of the show as well. RJ, why don't we just get right into it and talk about I think the first, well, I was going to say the first real test for both of these teams, but the Packers played a pretty good team in the Eagles, ultimately losing last week. The Cowboys as well, playing the Saints last week and losing. So both teams are 3-1. And obviously we want to have sort of our own rosy outlooks on our particular teams. But looking at the Cowboys so far this year, I think there is a case to say that they have not yet proven anything beating the Eli-led Giants, the Dolphins, who are tanking on purpose, Washington, who's tanking on accident, and then struggling against a breezeless Saints. RJ, to someone who makes that argument to you, how do you respond about your Cowboys?
I think it's a fair argument. I would counter, you know, I think that there's, of all the contenders in the NFL right now, I mean, you look at the Patriots, haven't really played anybody. I mean, the Packers, I mean, I know they played some pretty impressive defenses in Chicago and Denver, but, you know, I mean, Mitchell Trubisky and Joe Flacco aren't exactly somebody that anybody's starting in their fantasy football squad. But yeah, I mean, I would say this. I'm a firm believer that good teams find a way to beat the crap out of bad teams. And the Cowboys did that. I mean, they really did handily beat both all three teams, the Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins, and you expect that. And was it disappointing that they lost to the New Orleans Saints? Absolutely. But I think that when you look at that game specifically, and I felt this way last Thursday watching the Packer game, I came away from that, you know, wanting the Packers to win, but thinking they should have won, you know, and thinking that they kind of squandered their opportunities. And the Cowboys, I mean, you know, they ran more on first and second down than they ever had, which really kind of ruined the game for them. They didn't allow a single touchdown defensively, which is really impressive. I mean, you know, they had some weird fumbles from Jason Witten and a questionable one from Ezekiel Elliott. They had two offensive pass interference penalties against Amari Cooper. It was just kind of, you know, everybody's, you know, I hate to go there, but it kind of reminds me of the 2014 NFC Championship game, where you just have this string of crazy things that happen to a team, and somehow, some way, the Cowboys still almost won. So I think that says that even in spite of themselves, they're still a really good team. And you know, hey, I mean, they'll trudge on, but Sunday is certainly a big test for them.
You said you hate to go there. Do you actually hate to go there? I kind of think you like to go there.
It felt great at the time, given the Dez catch wound was still really fresh. That's one of the crazier things I've ever seen. So I, you know, 5 years later, I think we can all reach a place where, you know, we all realize there was some bad stuff that happened around then.
Speaking of the Dez catch, I saw a little video headline on like a Google News page or something from Randall Cobb saying that he's saying that Dez caught it. So that reminded me of Randall Cobb. So as a single tear rolls down my face, I have to ask you, how are you finding Randall Cobb in Dallas?
You know, I think a standard Cowboys fan would tell you that he's an incredible upgrade over Cole Beasley, because Cole kind of left with some bitterness and had some comments about the front office. I think that Randall Cobb has been exceptional, certainly as a slot receiver. He had the really big, sexy moment that everybody saw, where he stiff-armed a Giants defender as he picked up a first down in that game. He did have a really bad moment last week in New Orleans. He had a tip ball go off his hands that should have been a first down that kind of changed the complexion of the game. And I mean, I don't know personally, but I imagine if you ask him, he'd put that one on himself, because that's really who he's been. He's been, you know, this is a team with a lot of young guys. Granted, they've got a lot of experienced players like Dak and Zeke and even Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch in his second year. But Randall's kind of that big brother, kind of that, you know, point of guy who's been there, guy who's been to NFC Championship games, guy who's played in these big time games, guy who knows what it's like to play with an Aaron Rodgers, somebody who's really seen everything that the NFL can offer. And, you know, while the Cowboys, I think, are one of the best rosters in the NFL, facts of the matter are that they don't have anybody that has really, you know, lived it and seen it like Randall Cobb has. So it is nice to have him around from that perspective.
Yeah, and I've heard, I think it was Peter Bukowski's show, he had someone on talking about the Cowboys, and very unprofessional of me to blank on who that person is, but nonetheless, I will reference them.
It was me. That's okay.
Was it actually you?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, man, I am gullible. No, but it's funny anyway. I heard him saying that he felt like the Packers were a playmaker short so far this year on offense, and, you know, wondered what they would look like if they did have Randall Cobb on the team.
Why would anybody not want Randall Cobb right now? I'm not even sure what the argument against having Randall Cobb would be right now.
Yeah, I'm not either. But I want to talk about Dak Prescott for a second, RJ. Packers coach Matt LaFleur heaping what I felt was really sincere praise on Prescott earlier this week. But for the average Packer fan who's only seen Dak maybe a handful of times, can you talk a bit about his strengths and weaknesses as a quarterback as we see him so far embarking on now, I think, his fourth season?
It is his fourth season, and you know, his strengths and weaknesses have really changed in that time, as things tend to do. I think a quick encapsulation of Dak, you know, his rookie season, that incredible year where they really just kind of took the NFL by storm when they beat the Packers, incidentally, without Dez. You know, he was kind of, you know, what everybody lumped up to a game manager. That was the real Zeke show. And yeah, he had some nice throws and things like that. And in 2017, he really kind of started to find his form, you know, but that was the season that the Cowboys were in the middle of the Zeke suspension. Will it, won't it happen? And I think it's obvious that took a toll on the team. I think everybody saw that when the Cowboys were profiled on All or Nothing. And then, you know, what happened, what was the burning of Atlanta, as Jerry Jones has called it, when the Cowboys went to Atlanta. I'm sure, you know, everybody's well aware of the Chaz Green game. And that really just kind of broke the Cowboys. They were without Zeke for the first time. Tyron Smith was gone, as he will be this Sunday. Sean Lee left the game extremely early. And, you know, it was Adrian Claiborne all over the place. And that really just wrecked who Dak was. And I think wrecked the fabric of the team. And they really were just this horrible offense. You know, from that point, actually, when they went to Atlanta, after that, they went home and hosted the Philadelphia Eagles in the night that Jerry Jones was honored for going into the Hall of Fame. And that was literally the worst loss in AT&T Stadium's history. And a few days later, they hosted the Chargers on Thanksgiving. In those three games, they scored in the single digits. And it was the first time ever in Cowboys franchise history that they went three straight games without breaking double digits. And so they were that team, and he was that guy all the way up until last season when they traded for Amari Cooper. And I mean, you know, you can put the responsibility for that on Amari's shoulders if you'd like. But ever since getting a number one receiver back, because the Cowboys had moved on from Dez a year ago, I mean, he has just been a transformed quarterback. And I think we've really seen it evolve ever since then. They obviously went on a huge winning streak last season. They had some big, big, big time wins. They won a playoff game, beat the Seattle Seahawks. And this season started off really strong. I mean, he has yet to throw an incompletion in the third quarter. He is really dialed in. And a lot of that is what Kellen Moore has brought. I mentioned the running on first and second down. I mean, they have been pass heavy. They have been play action. They have had movement and shifts and motion at the line of scrimmage. And so he has really evolved into a legitimate franchise quarterback, which is really exciting to see.
You mentioned Tyron Smith being out, the starting left tackle. Spelling him, I believe, is going to be Cam Fleming. Is that a big deal and clearly advantage Packers, or is Fleming a guy that you trust to come in and play well?
Well, you know, he's not Chaz Green, so there is a bit of a positive for Cowboys fans in that respect. But I think he's your average swing tackle. You know, a year ago, Cowboys fans really talked themselves into him. He started for the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52. We don't have to talk about who won that game.
Oh, come on. Let's talk about it.
It's a little bit of a sore subject. But so he's your average swing tackle, and he's certainly serviceable. Although pretty immediately on Sunday night when he entered the game, Dak had pressure on his blind side. So I certainly think that is a point of concern for the Cowboys offensive line, particularly not just because of Cam Fleming, but because of who's next to him. The Cowboys starting left guard is second year player Connor Williams, who they took in the second round last year out of the University of Texas. And he is really, I don't want to say really struggled, but he has definitely not had the same levels of success that you've seen Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick and Zach Martin have coming into the NFL. Sort of more of a slower burn. He is, you know, certainly ascending and becoming a better player. He's only about 22 years old, so he's still very young. But that left side is very weak, and I think if I was the Packers, that would be what I would look to exploit.
The sense right now is Lael Collins is going to play, right?
Yeah, Lael has not practiced on Wednesday or Thursday, but bit more of a veteran, you know, a couple days off sort of thing. He had a back issue flare up when he showed up to work on Tuesday, and I think the Cowboys are just being precautionary with him, but he should play. I would be shocked if he didn't.
Got it.
So speaking of the offensive line, is there anyone on the Packers defensive line that worries you? You mentioned watching the game against the Eagles. I don't know how much more of the Packers you've seen this season, but is there anything about the Packers front on defense that particularly scares you?
Yeah, I mean, I've gone back and watched the Packers this season. That Vikings game I thought was particularly interesting just because, you know, I didn't enjoy the result of the Eagles game. But and obviously the first game of the season was seen by everybody. But I mean, I'd say both Smith brothers. I mean, obviously not brothers, but I mean, that's a point of concern for the Cowboys. I think that's a point of advantage for the Packers. And I know entering last week that the talk nationally was how the Packers had kind of put together this great defense. They were generating all these turnovers, and you know, granted, the Eagles have an incredible offensive line as well, but I would not sleep on them. I certainly think that they're definitely something that is going to affect this game. But I think the defender I'm most concerned with is Jaire Alexander, just because Marshawn Lattimore really took Amari Cooper out of the game last week. And if Jaire can have that same sort of effect, it could be troublesome for the Cowboys.
What's the way in which the Cowboys tend to use Amari Cooper? Is he just a deep threat?
No, I think Amari is, I mean, he really is, as cliche as it sounds, he's your anything and everything. I mean, Amari, he's a check down guy. He's your screen guy. He's your slant guy. He's your deep threat guy. I mean, he is one of the most intelligent people that has played for the Cowboys in recent memory. You know, there was a 75-yard touchdown that he had against the Eagles when the Cowboys played them for the second time last season at AT&T Stadium. And this was when the offense was really stale and really stagnant. And Amari talked about after the game how, you know, he had just had another sort of curl route called and he was really upset about it in the huddle as it broke. And he looked at Dak and Dak said, dude, just run it. And it was kind of, you know, sort of a pathetic moment for them. Like, we know we're trapped by this offense, but once Dak got to the line of scrimmage and sort of took a look at things, he gave Amari a signal and said, dude, just go deep. And Dak hit him on a 75-yard touchdown. So I think Amari is really this, you know, moldable hybrid sort of player. He can do everything, which is why the Cowboys felt he was worth a first-round pick.
Yeah. Cowboys were highly criticized for the first-round pick for him, and then it quickly became apparent that it was almost a coup. How did you feel when they first got Cooper and given the price tag, were you excited about that or cautiously optimistic or not cool with it?
You know, I remember, the best part about SB Nation is the family of networks that we all have. And I remember I also run our BTB Twitter account. And I think it was Jacina Anderson that first reported it, and I quoted her tweet and I said, let go, like in all caps. And then like 3 seconds later, there was a tweet that said like, oh, it's a first round pick. And I quoted that in literally no caps, like just all lowercase. I just said, oh, no. and I vividly remember the SB Nation like flagship account made a graphic with like the BTB logo and you know, kind of poked fun at our initial and sort of post news reaction. It was steep. I mean, it certainly felt steep at the time. And I mean, the Cowboys were 3-4. They had just lost in Washington. They're, as I mentioned, their offense was really, really, really bad. And so you just had the vibe that this was going to be a top 10 pick. And so you kind of felt like the franchise was in dysfunction. I don't think anybody had any idea what was coming around the corner. They've lost 3 regular season games since they traded for him, 1 in the NFC. And that was last week.
I honestly don't know if I can remember a trade that kind of changed a team's fortunes as much as that one, especially not a midseason trade.
I think that's a fair point. I mean, it's hard to come up with. I think there have been dynamic trades, certainly, and I think anything would be centered around a quarterback. But you're right. I mean, he pulled them from the depths. I mean, they were knocking on hell's door. And I mean, he just turned them around, what he was able to do. He has yet to lose a game to an NFC East opponent. I mean, it's remarkable what Amari Cooper's done.
Wide receiver wins. Is that a thing?
I think so. But I want to spell this one with an S. I'm tired. The Z is hard. So
one thing I'm curious about is I think, you know, we haven't really seen, you know, the first 3 games. I wouldn't say Dallas's defense was really challenged, but I guess how are you going to, if you were game planning against the Cowboys defense right now, I mean, how do you beat them?
Well, you're right. I mean, the first 3 games were sort of a walk in the park for them defensively, although that Miami first half was really frustrating. They only had a 10-6 lead, and a lot of Cowboys fans were really upset about it. I will say they didn't allow a touchdown in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and they had 5 sacks. And this is a defense that really hasn't forced a lot of turnovers, even through their run last season. That's kind of their Achilles heel. And so, I mean, I don't mean to say that limit turnovers is a strategy, but I think a point of concern, if I was the Packers, is right now, you know, the Cowboys have had DeMarcus Lawrence and they paid him over the offseason. He's the war daddy that Jerry Jones has coveted for so long. And they've tried forever to get a bookend pass rusher to go along with him. From an on-field perspective, the best things ever were when they had Greg Hardy and DeMarcus Lawrence. And obviously that ended the way it did, but they drafted Randy Gregory and that hasn't worked out. They drafted Taco Charlton and Lord knows that didn't work out. A lot of Cowboys fans, by the way, swore that they did not draft Kevin King in that draft. But so they seem to have found that answer, though, with, you mentioned, you know, trades being impactful. They traded for Robert Quinn over the offseason, sent a 6th-round pick to Miami, and he has been incredible. He has 3 sacks through 2 games. He was suspended for the first 2 of the season, although he did also have a hand injury. He had some huge moments last week against the Saints, including 2 sacks just in that game. And so I think that Robert Quinn is that X factor. He's that guy. He's the one that I'm focused on stopping, because entering last week, DeMarcus Lawrence had seen more double teams than any edge rusher in the NFL. And I don't think that you can do that anymore if you're Green Bay, if you're Philadelphia, if you're whoever, because the Cowboys finally have 2 pass rushers that can get home. And what's more is they have some interior defensive linemen that can do some special things. They have Malik Collins, who they took in the Dak and Zeke and Jalen draft in the 3rd round, that's playing out of his mind right now. And then, you know, they've got Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, and Jalen can rush. He had a big sack on Teddy Bridgewater that kind of kept the Cowboys in the game last week. So I think it's stopping that pass rush, although that's a lot easier than it sounds.
Yeah. I mean, I really do. Yeah, it does seem like today, I think this weekend is really going to be a good game by which to evaluate two pretty strong fronts that, I think a lot of people thought that the Packers were going to be good, but I don't know if people thought that the Packers were going to be as good as they've been. And I think I can kind of see whoever's controlling the line of the scrimmage on defense better is going to come away with the win on Sunday.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Cowboys offensive line has obviously been their bread and butter, and their defensive line has had success. I mean, it is, as football has been for 1,000 years, but that is going to be the focus. Whoever wins up there, I agree with you, is going to have the stronger chance of getting the dub.
RJ, before we get out of here, let me get your firm, 100% accurate prediction on what's going to happen in this game.
this is... Something interesting I find about this game, Dak Prescott has had an ability. It's a hard thing to calculate, but an ability to rise in special moments. He's just kind of that person. I think you all have certainly experienced that with Aaron Rodgers, but Dak is just somebody who tends to rise. And this Sunday is October 6th. That is the first time that October 6th has fallen on a Sunday since October 6th, 2013. And that was the really, I know a lot of NFL fans remember it, the crazy Tony Romo, Peyton Manning showdown at AT&T Stadium. And so I just feel like there's some good energy surrounding the Cowboys this week. This is, Aaron Rodgers is the Cowboys' kryptonite, and it's really kind of focused on Aaron Rodgers, not necessarily the Packers as a whole. And I just, this kind of feels like a game where Dak outshines him to me just because he tends to rise to that moment. And I think, missing Devontae Adams is such a serious blow if that's ultimately what happens for Aaron. So I know that the line is kind of fluctuated between 3, 3.5. I would not take that, but I do think the Cowboys win. I think this is a really close, really stressful game. It's going to destroy all the ratings on Fox. And, I think going to be the game of the week or game of the season through the NFL through 5 weeks.
I like that a lot of your prediction lies on good vibrations and good feelings. As speaking as a podcast that starts every single season with a tarot card reading on how the season will go. I think that's as fine a way as any to to try to predict the outcome of a game. RJ, want to thank you for stopping by, especially on such short notice. Again, at RJ Ochoa on Twitter, SB Nation, Blogging the Boys, Ocho Podcast, Saturday Morning Hangover, ESPN San Antonio, all that stuff. And now we know that we are Southwestern neighbors. And I would say good luck, but I wouldn't mean it. So,
yeah, I wish you guys health and wealth and happiness. But I hope Sunday's just a terrible day. I mean, from an emotional standpoint for you guys. But other than that, I hope Monday morning's great. Things go well for you, and all good things.
Thanks. I wish you emotional torment as well. And with that, we hit the polka. We bob in our seats, as we do every time. We come to the close of another APC podcast. Again, big thanks to RJ for stopping by. Ben, the game, Sunday afternoon. What's your prediction?
I'll take the Packers, actually. I know, I think I'm contradicting myself from the other night.
but
I'll take the Packers. But it's gonna come down to the end of the game, and I win by less than a field goal.
I love it. I love a repeat of close Packers-Dallas games of yore. I'm into it. Let's bring that emotional torment to the Dallas side. And I agree. I think the Packers do come out victorious, although not sure Vegas agrees. Not sure most people picking agree. Speaking of picking the game, the podcast Pick'em is still up and running. Get your picks in 5 minutes before kickoff of every game of that day's first game. Pardon me. Anyway, these endings are just getting worse and worse. At the APC pod on Twitter, at Zach Rapport, at Ben Foldy. And go Pack go. We'll see you.
Peace.
Yeah. Awful. Awful ending.